So, have you guys seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I watched a little bit of it and I dozed off because I was tired, but I'm a huge fan of Donald Glover and everything he does, so I'm definitely going to watch it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I think, isn't that woman from Pen 15?
I don't know what Pen 15 from what? Is.
What is it?
This show, Pen 15, on it was on Hulu, on Amazon. Okay. It was about like middle school. Like
she's Japanese and white.
Yeah. I think it is the same, same girl. She's funny. She's like a really good actress. I can't remember her name right now, but she's really funny.
I heard it's supposed to be focusing on just like relationships and loneliness. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad
it's slow.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's something about how slow it is.
Yeah.
Just with like unpacking like the relationships and them actually being strangers and then having to live in a house together as well as be these secret agents and how they grow to care for each other, especially when as being like a secret agent, you're not supposed to have, you know, real relationships or be that connected with someone, especially not even like telling your parents what you do, whatever it may be. So it's like interesting of like them. And then, there's action here and there. There's some funny parts.
But the action was all a byproduct of their relationship.
The what?
Not a byproduct. The action is just all like in the background compared to them being. That's dope. That's the same. That's that
is
classic.
Is American too? They're like special agents in America?
Yeah. I think they're based out of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Welcome to Keep Me Different. But we keep it different. Speaking of Donald Glover, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but it don't get more different than him. As far as what am I trying to say? It don't get more different than him as far as what? As far as what he gives us, as far as the entertainment, from a black perspective, at least.
Yeah, I think it's an alternative black perspective.
An alternative black perspective. I feel so weird when I say that, but it's a fact, right? Because a lot of the stuff that we see, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, I feel like it's cliche. Like I'm like, I've seen this before. I could show me something different. Show me something because I know different things.
Yeah. You know? I think also like, you know, I feel like you have an alternative identity and like you probably discovered that by talking to other black people and realizing, oh, actually I don't have this in common with you. You know? And then it's like, you kind of have to like hide it because you're like, this is not cool. Like, we all like this. And it's like, maybe you don't really like it, you know?
Yes.
You hit a nerve,
like, Michelle. You hit a nerve.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of code switch within your own people.
Yeah.
You know? Because you want to get along, go along with everybody. Like, oh, yeah, fuck that shit. Not really like that. But yeah, that's very true. And I think people like Donald Glover, he gives you permission. When you see that, you're like, oh, man, you think like me. I can do that. I can tell people that I love these weird things, these strange things, which is, for me, a tiresome thing, but also a thing that I know you have to keep on talking about. It's kind of like when you hear white people say, get over slavery, get over something, you know, you got opportunities, and you're like, yeah, to you that may sound redundant, but it took 400 or something years for it to be like this.
And the check is still not looking.
And exactly. You think we're going to fix this in 20 years?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's the wildest thing. Like, I'm going to talk about this till you till your head explode. And then when I drop dead.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then even so, you may still hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
episode two.
Episode two. Welcome back, everybody. What y'all been up to since we last talked?
Peace and salutations.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, Michelle. I had a different topic that I wanted to discuss, but last episode was like, I felt like it was so intriguing. I want to pick up on that because I still got some questions. I still feel some type of way. to be real with you, I feel some type of way.
What does it mean to feel some type of way?
Well, feel some type of way is a powerful statement. I'm so glad you asked me that. I had this discussion with a good buddy of mine, Alzo Slade. When we say some type of way, it could mean 50 different things. I could be going out with a girl, but like, man, I feel some type of way. That means I like her, right?
Yeah.
You know, some dude could bump me in the club, and I'd be like, man, I feel some type of way. He motherfucker bumped me. You know what I'm saying? Or I could just be going through something emotionally, man. I'm feeling some type of way. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling melancholy. It has many different meanings in the black community. For you, what does it mean?
I really don't know what it means. Actually, I feel like I'm always the lame black person, like, but what is the way you're feeling?
Ah.
Because I want to know. No, I do. I'm like, what is it? And then I can see in their eyes that they're like, yeah, like I'm feeling some type of way. Like, you should know the way I'm feeling. And I'm like, I don't think I know.
Yeah.
Like, it's also let me know.
To give you a sense without me having to unpack truly the type of way I'm feeling. So it's like a quick little, you know, breeze of like, whatever you're feeling is like, I feel some type of way, let's get on with it. Or we can go into what that is, but like you actually asking me exactly what does feel some type of way mean?
Yeah.
It's like, listen to Rich Homie Quan.
Listen to the Rich Homie Quan. And we can use it against you too.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I could be playing basketball with Garen and I hit him on the arm and then he trying to foul me for the whole game. I'm like, oh, you really feeling some type of way, right? What does that mean when I say that to him? I'm gonna put you, it's the feel some type of way test. What does that mean?
Just give her different scenarios.
Okay, I give her a scenario.
I think we need to like stop using it as a filler though, low-key.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah, because I feel like if we keep saying we feel some type of way and we don't know what this way is, like if we push it further, we can get more like emotional literacy.
Damn, leave it up to Michelle, man. Leave it up to Michelle to take our slang and discover some trauma behind the shit.
Also, it's like, it's not that serious. I'm just expressing to express, not to express for a response.
But she could be right. We could be running. Listen, we're running from something. So I'd be feeling some type of way, but I don't tell nobody I feel some type of way.
I feel like sometimes I overhear conversations between men and women though, and black men and women, and there's like, I feel some type of way said a lot, and I'm like, I don't think this is a productive conversation. Like, no one knows what anyone's feeling.
So Michelle, I want to ask you this question, and I know you're gonna answer this honestly. You know, no, first of all, let me make a statement. You know, you're an outlier, right?
I know.
You're an outlier. So. And I'm just being honest, for me to, if my significant other hurts my feelings or does something that doesn't sit well with me or whatnot, it's easier for me to be like, man, you got me feeling some type of way, rather than saying, that hurt my feelings so much. And, it, you know, and I don't know why you would do something like that. It doesn't make me feel good inside. Because... Right? Yeah. I'm embellishing, obviously. But because, traditionally... you feel like you're going to be viewed weaker or a wuss, or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then let's just add to that. On top of you feeling that way, a lot of the times your partner does. I don't care what people say. Society has ingrained a lot of things inside of us. Your partner, your female partner, your male partner, whoever your partner is, could look at you like you're a little less than, or you're a little weaker. And that's a revealing, vulnerable thing to do. So it's easier to be like, man, you got me feeling some type of way. And that's like a cool delivery too, right? That's like, you got me feeling some type of way.
We make it look cool and sound cool.
But chances are they understand where you're coming from because of the inflection, because of the way you're using it, the way you put it in the sentence.
As well as like, I think you're comfortable saying it to that person at the time, even if it's a stranger, because to your point, you're hoping that they kind of feel or understand the reaction or the response of why I'm saying it.
But without like just implicitly understanding it.
Yeah. Yeah, just a surface level.
But I think that can get complicated when it's men and women, because like,
oh, for sure,
we have different identities. Yeah. You know, like, how can you assume that your partner in a heterosexual relationship will know like what you're talking about, how you feel without you saying it?
I mean, I think it's based on the assumption that we've been together for some time now and you understand. If you're paying attention to me, I'm going to take I might get to catch some heat for this. I'm going to take a page out of the book of women. If you're really paying attention to me, if you really understand me, if you really see me, you know what my feel some type of way means. If you're confused, you're not really paying attention to me. You're not paying attention to the signs I've given you, the cues, all that. You know what I mean?
Well, to bring it back to what we were talking about on episode one, just the manosphere, if I would almost argue that like if the manosphere exists, it would imply that women aren't understanding how men feel, potentially, right?
They like, are?
They're not.
They're not,
maybe,
not
right? Because there's just such a high like desire for men to like waste their issues on the internet and feel and
right.
their feeling type of way on the internet, right? So like, how, like, I guess, like, for you guys, like, how do you think we could bridge that gap between, like, men and women understanding? If we're not going to explain how we feel, we're leaning on, oh, I feel some type of way. Like, do you think that's doing the job?
No, it's definitely not doing the job, but I don't think we can deconstruct hundreds of years of programming in years, right? So maybe we, and this, you know, I'm no psychologist, this is just a thought, maybe we play a game. I know for me, it's much easier to absorb when you say to me, hey, O'Neal, how about we try this? How about when I do something wrong or something that doesn't sit well with you, you tell me such and such, I don't like how that feels. Da, 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 da. If you say that to me, maybe this is too much, but if you say that to me, then that gives me permission to go ahead and say it in that way, right? Yeah. It gives me permission. And then over time, it'll go from you giving me permission to me just being able to say, hey, man, I hurt my feelings. You know, that you fucking hurt my feelings, or I don't like how you did that, because you've slowly spoon-fed me that, right? Because you understand the trauma that forged me, the trauma fires that I was forged in, right?
Yeah.
But that takes patience, that takes understanding and all that stuff. Especially, you know, and gosh, again, I might be throwing a man pity party, especially when you consider all the things we have to deal with as men. You know, women aren't told, don't cry, suck it up. Women aren't told, you got to be the provider. Women aren't told, you know what I'm saying? Women aren't, you deal with other issues with other women, but you're not chastised by other women, you know. With men, you know, this motherfucker crying, stop crying, stop being a bitch. Even at the grown-ass man level, we have other super grown men saying childish things to us. Like, you know what I mean? If we open up, or that's why you have to be selective. Like last episode, you talked about how you have a chosen few friends you talk to, some female, some male. But you said a few.
Right, right, yeah.
I can't talk to all my male friends and tell them, man, you know, I'm feeling blue or I'm feeling like that. Yeah, I'm going to get a couple chuckles. One time I was in a conversation and I said to some people, I'm an empath. And man, they all started laughing. And
men.
And I wanted to like flip back into male mode and be like, but I'll beat your ass though. It was too late though. I was like, fuck. Exactly. A weak one, but I was scurrying in my head. I started panicking. I was like, shit, I said some weak shit. Man, I'll fuck you up. You know?
So do you feel like in today's society, like where you're at as men today, right? Do you feel like you're gravitating towards the men that you can open up to as friends? Or do you feel like you fall back on the ones that are like just for y'all just kicking it and shooting the shit, but you're not talking about anything? You like, obviously they have their roles, but do you feel a lean to either one?
I have an answer, but you can go first.
I don't think do I have a lean to either one? I think naturally the ones that I do share with is because we've had some prior experiences or have gone through similar things or have been there or, you know, talked about, compared to the ones that we just kicked the shit. But I still, you know, respect them both the same, because I value both of their relationships outside of one being more to talk to about a specific topic versus one I'm just kicking it with, whatever, because it's for me, it's still all working in some type of flow and waves of like how I'm just feeling at the day or at the time in the day or what I'm getting into and the situation that we're in. If we're just, yeah, came over, kicked it, whatever, start watching sports, whatever it may be, games, compared to like me calling, like picking up the phone and calling one of my boys because of a situation that I went through that I know he would at least listen and understand because he knows me. And he knows that I wouldn't be calling if it wasn't something that I was really feeling some type of way about.
And did you start that vulnerability, or did they show you that vulnerability first?
I think it was a natural, like, maturation of us. That's a good question. Because I feel like it would just naturally happen because of a situation that happened.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, years ago, this is many years ago, but my brother had passed away. And where I was at the time of hearing that he passed, to then those that were around me and those that continue to be around, and move forward is like, that just naturally happened to have now those conversations because this person also had their mom pass away or, you know what I mean? Or something like that. And we're close. Like, we're like brothers. We watch games, we kick it, but I also know I can call him if I can't call anybody else to like, just have another conversation or like a, I guess a real conversation.
Yeah.
So it varies for me.
I mean, I think for myself, the older I've gotten, I definitely seek out those people of like minds now. Yeah. I do. That's not to say I don't have those friends that I can't, you know, completely be myself with and open up with, because I do. Those are the funny friends, right? Those are the lighthearted ones that are filled with blissful ignorance that we can just, you know. But I do seek out people that I can comfortably be myself with, because the older I'm getting, the more I'm like, I don't have time to be around people that I can't be myself with. The ones that are there already are there already. All right, I'm not going to eliminate them, but all the new people that I bring into my life, you have to be somebody I can talk to, right? Maybe this is a toxic trait. Well, this probably is a toxic trait. But I also search for or try to cultivate and make friends that are strong and powerful, but meek. Right, they have that mixture.
Oh, gentle giant.
Yeah, exactly. They can be strong and powerful. They can be warriors in a garden. Right, I look for that because I don't see many of that. I either see complete ignorant warriors, right, people that are just built on just the toxic aggression, whatever, or I see men that are extremely, extremely weak. I view them as the opposite sides of the same coin. Yeah. I think you should be filled with both. Yeah, right. I think it's your duty to be filled with both. So I view them both the same. I and this is fucked up, but I have disdain for men who act too tough, and I have disdain for men that are too weak. I believe that you should be both and know how to activate and turn it on. And that should be rarely.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I think there's something to say around, like, you know, the term of like a Renaissance man. I think that covered a lot of the spectrum from like, you know, the physicality of being possibly a swordsman to then understanding art and fine art is like being able to do that, like, makes you very much well-rounded. And I think able to understand and observe and take in a lot more things than people that sit on one side of the spectrum or not, and actually have more of a worldly point of view than just what you're in that day or in, whether it, you're in that community or in that, the, with whatever type of people that you're hanging around. It's like, for those that are able to kind of flex their, pun intended, intended, non intended, but like flex their muscles of being, that brute force, or just being more stern, to then understanding and being empathetic to those that are looking for that. It's like, that's what I think, like, for me, where you start to really talk about what a man is or who a man is that is like being able to be both.
That's really interesting. I feel like, so I find, like, personally, my relationship to gender is I do identify as like a gender non-conforming woman. I just feel like I don't fit the stereotype of like heteronormative women. So when I date men, I do find that they feel like they can be those two dimensions with me. Yeah. But I feel like that is not the case across the Black community that much. I don't think we have enough spaces for men to be that multidimensional. I think we kind of want, I feel like we're still, remember like back in the day, everyone used to be like, oh, men, like, this is like the early Oprah, shout out to Oprah. Like, women want, like, why, like, remember we used to be like, why can't Black women find Black men? And it used to be, okay, they want Tupac with like a Harvard degree, right? Like, I feel like we're still kind of there though, kind of. And I don't think that model is gonna work. We couldn't find it then. And now, I mean, or maybe it's a newer model where like, we just allow men to be multidimensional, but I think not enough people are latching on to that right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think, listen, your experiences form who you are. And by the time you get to your person, or a person that could potentially be your person, you know, putting on is just so tiring.
Yeah.
It's fatiguing, and it weighs on you, weighs on your spirit, weighs on your mental, and then eventually it weighs on the person, especially when they discover that you weren't really who you said you were. And it's like, oh, damn, you got me. On to the next. And then you put on to the next. I heard someone say how either you're going to deal with your shit with the person that you're with, or you're going to deal with it by yourself, but you just have to deal with it, right?
You gotta fix it.
And dealing with it is a hard thing, because I think, and I don't want to blame society wholly, but society, you know, when you look outside your window and you see other men and you're like, okay, that's how I'm supposed to be. Okay, well, I've been seeing this for 20, 30, 40 years. Let me try that. And then if you're lucky enough to have a partner that's like, hey, you don't have to even put on for me. Take the mask off. I accept you for who you are. That's as pessimistic as this sounds. Good luck. Good luck, right? Good luck. Yeah, good luck finding someone who's going to tell you, hey, man, listen, I sense that this isn't who you really are. Be who you are. And then you strip naked and you show them who you are. And they're like, I'm with that. That's, you don't see much of that, right? So you're your community, right? If you're in a group of people that are all doing the same thing, unless you're an outlier, right? Unless you're forced to be an outlier, you want to just go along because you want things to be easy, you know?
Easy in the sense of just like, let's lean into our typical roles because it's too complicated to do anything else.
It's too complicated to do anything else. It's too complicated to do anything else. So when I hear, you know, when I watch shows or I witness, you know, the debates between male, female, and whatnot, I'm like, it's boring, it's redundant, right? It's needed, but it's boring and redundant. And I don't think the way we're communicating is, I agree with you, it's been there, done that, and we're trying the same thing again, we're trying the same thing again. But I personally don't know how you sit down and say, okay, hey, listen, I'm not really who I presented myself to be. This is who I really am, you know? And I just want you to love me for me. Is that okay? Good luck.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like, you know, it's like, there is some progress being made. Like, you know, there was that meme or like that image of DMX like watering flowers. Like that's been spread around. I'm like, okay, that's positive, right? But like, are we actually like getting there? I don't know if we're fully getting there where... Like, I do like seeing that image because it shows, like, a soft side to DMX. We know as, like, this, like, hard rapper with the pit bulls and shit or whatever. Like, we see the duality of that. Like,
that, even in the sense of what has been ingrained, is, like, what if DMX just loves plants?
He probably
flowers?
Does,
But I'm saying, like, it's looked at as being soft of him watering the plant, then it's just... something that he loves to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm not one of those people that like are against labels, but I just don't just go along with labels. And it's where that's where I like I just question things to question. But to your point, like I think or what you're asking is like how do we progress or how do we close the gap and all that is like kind of stripping something that what we're just inclined to know and to understand because of our histories has shown us that to like actually in a sense starting from like a clean slate or at least just moving forward and being more open-minded to the different possibilities of how a man actually shows up or presents himself.
You know, it's interesting because I've said this, you know, on numerous occasions, like because I love different things so much and, you know, where I grew up, when we moved from Jamaica, we moved to Detroit, and then we moved immediately. It was as though my father was like, "Let's find the most ghetto
American
from black neighborhood, and let's just drop in there." And that's where we lived. And I got destroyed because of my accent and just because I was different. And you know, I remember my mom getting me a skateboard, and you know, black kids weren't skateboarding back then. You know what I'm saying? At all, and I was skateboarding in the projects, and you know, and all my boys were playing crate ball, and I remember a whole bunch of group of motherfuckers running up on me, and they're like, "This nigga skateboarding, what the fuck, nigga skateboarding?" And I took that skateboard, and I wanted this skateboard badly, and I threw it in the garbage, and I was like, "I'm about to play crate ball," you know, I'm not going to be alienated. I'm with you guys. Whatever it takes, I'm with you guys. And I think it was so heavy on me that I was like, I need to find some way to be me, because if I don't find some way to be me, I'm going to go crazy. And I think I used the toxic way to get out of it. That's when I was like, I'm going to learn how to fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to learn how to fight, punch, kick, jujitsu. I'm going to do all that because that checks the box. Now, not from being a tough guy, because I never wanted to be a tough guy, but I just wanted to check the box of what being a tough guy is, so I could always lean back on that. So if I tell you, I'm an empath and you laugh at me, but I'll beat your ass though. No one's going to question that. Now, I can't beat everybody up, but I can beat a lot of people up. So I definitely checked that box, right? So are you going to question it? No. So then I'm an empath then. You know what I'm saying? It gave me permission to do that. That may be a bit of me using toxicity to make a remedy for myself, but I just needed some way. I needed something to be able to just give me an outlet so I could breathe. And then when I could do that, when I finally got to that level where I could do that, I'm like, oh, I can be me. So I can paint my nails now. I can wear man skirts. You can say whatever you want to say, but if me and you fight, I'm gonna beat your ass unless you can fight like me. So you clearly, I don't view this like this, but you clearly view this as a an acceptance card as a man. I don't view it like that, but I took that on just to check that box so I can't be questioned anymore. I know that's a fucked up way, Michelle. I know that's a fucked up way.
I don't think it's fucked up, actually. No, I don't think it is. I think I understand it. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fucked up. I'm just processing it. I mean, like, and you weren't, like, picking fights after that. You were just, like...
I don't do that today. But I think being a dog athlete is one, right? When I remember when, I can't remember his name, but from some years ago, I think he was a linebacker or a lineman, and he came out as gay, right? And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, obviously, you know, athletes still have issues with sexuality in the locker room and whatnot. But I'm like, you ain't running up on him talking crazy, right? I remember watching this Thai boxer. Extremely feminine. He would come into the ring dancing, you know, wearing pink or whatever, makeup on. But when he got in the ring, he beat the shit out of all the straight dudes. And I'm like, you can't question. You can't. And I think, you know.
I think also, like, that plays a part in, like, confidence. And it shows up in just different ways of how people express their confidence.
Yes.
Of, like, being able to go against the norm and be different of wearing pink, getting into a ring and then whooping somebody's ass.
Yeah.
Versus then looking like the stereotypical fighter getting in the ring and whooping. Like, it's still, there's some confidence, or there is confidence behind that, I guess, from the norm and what has been known or seen to how they want to express themselves and show. And it, you know, also that can be playing into the opposing fighter's mind of, like, him popping in wearing pink and all that, like, thinking shit is sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, as you get into self-awareness, I always, like, when I talk to folks, because I try to mentor and, like, connect with former athletes and just those that are coming behind me that are looking to either follow the path or just be inspired or whatever it may be, is like, I think the biggest gift you can give yourself is self-awareness. And with that, then you're able to really understand what you like, what you don't like, what's not for you. And that a lot of the shit that you're dealing with is just noise. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really influence you as much as you think it do. It's only when you don't know yourself that you're looking for something to then put you down a direction or down a path, you know, that may not be authentic to you. And that shows, well, like, we're all smart human beings in one way or another, that we can understand when someone's not being authentic or being inauthentic to certain situations or environments. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think what's challenging for Black people, I feel like one thing I've noticed, just like when I was in New York City, I was in undergrad, I was babysitting as, like, a side job. I would babysit for a lot of, like, white, wealthier families. And let me tell you, these white people let their kids be with whoever the fuck they want to be. And I love that. Like, if your kid wants, like, yeah, like, some of the boys, they'd be, like, painting their nails, like, whatever. And it was not a thing. Like, it was just, like, that's what they're into today. Like, they're a kid. And I think Black people are kind of afraid of that to a degree because, like, we do police our own identities a lot.
But I, you know, like, I think also circumstances that are behind that as well. Like, you know, these parents or these black parents that maybe are policing their kids is also protecting them in the sense of survival.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like they would not love to just let their kid go and do it. Like, that's what we're all kind of striving for in some sense, is like to have the freedom to, you know, do what we want, as well as then our kids and our offspring to do what they want. So for me, it's like, that's where I think comparisons get tough, because those white families have the privilege of having those kids being able to run around and do whatever they want, where, you know, those in other circumstances, it's tough to even see the next day, to then let alone my kid run around and do whatever he or she wants to do and be whoever she wants to be. Like, again, it goes back to our first episode of like, we're trying to change what has been years in the making, or years that just have happened.
Yeah,
to like, all right, now that we do have this sense of freedom, or we have, now we are thinking on a different level, it's like, we need to change all this shit tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And people need to be more like this, or our communities need to be more like this. It's like, everything's gonna take time. Like, nothing really comes overnight. And so, it, for me, it just goes back to like grace and then exposure. And like,
exposure, yeah.
Having kids and the youth be exposed to things earlier than probably even when I was growing up, what I was like, it took me some time to get exposed, but I think I always thought different from the get-go.
Yeah.
But exposure is huge, you know, because it allows someone to like react to the unknown, or something that they didn't know before they got exposed to it.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about that, about what both of you are talking about, you saying you're working with these, babysitting for these affluent white people and seeing them let their kids reign free, and you saying, well, you know, this has been a defense mechanism that we've formed to like get us through some tough times, you know? We're gonna embrace being tough in every way, shape, and form. You know, when I think about that, I think of two things. I think about when I was a kid and white people came around, and my mom used to be like, you know, white people come on, act a certain way, right? And then the second thing I thought about was how we often call each other out in public, right? Like, how we'll be like, black people need to do, I'm not saying that what you did was wrong, but we're like, black people need to do this, black people don't do this. I'm always torn when I hear that, because I'm like, we should call each other out so we could get it right. But then we shouldn't call each other out because we're doing it in front of them, which makes us look like we have no solidarity. But if we don't call each other out, then we'll never improve upon what we need to fix.
Yeah, then we're gonna be stuck here, yeah.
Right? But if you do, so you're just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And
well, that, you know, you can't, you know, with that though, you can't generalize everything, because I think where we first started off like a few weeks ago of just having conversation is like, not every black experience or every black person has the same experience.
Yeah.
And so for us to possibly look at a community, and yes, there's some generalization going on, I don't know if we should be always so quick to jump to that.
Yeah.
When certain things happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it could be situational. I think it could be because of the environment that the person is in at the time, or has grown up in, but it doesn't mean like everyone that even comes from that community or that neighborhood is like that as well.
Yeah.
That's black, you know? So it's like, it is a tough thing to balance and interpret, I would say, depending on where you're at. But for me, man, it goes back to grace, and like also like just respecting everyone's background and upbringing, because you just don't know what
and
truly,
that their lived experience
yeah,
everyone has a different lived experience.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, touch on that a bit and pick up where we left off, because it was really important. And I want to, you know, wrap it up with saying that, you know, I think that that's why, you know, having a voice and using that voice in a smart, responsible way is important, and giving permission to other people. Like, I love, you know, you started the show off talking about Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because I do think Donald Glover is one of those voices that, you know, unconsciously lets his light just shine and lets you see, as a person who wants to express yourself, probably that you might be in a situation where you can be like, I could do it this way without judgment. I don't have to go this other way, you know?
And it, you know, that even took him some time, or the people getting used to him and them then understanding that that's who he is and he's being authentic to who he is.
Yeah.
And now we just look at him as, you know, a talented creative.
Precisely. He's just living in his truth.
Yeah. Which goes across races as well. Like, I don't, you know, you should be proud to say a talented Black creative, but also he's just a talented creative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
That's the goal. Appreciate y'all, man. It's been the Keep Me Different podcast. We'd like you to like, subscribe. You already know what it is. I like to listen to podcasts when I take a shit. Because, you know, I'm literally, so I'm saying what people.
Things that you shouldn't say.
I'm just saying what people don't want to say. You know what I'm saying? Everybody listens to stuff when they're pooping. You know, so
Better than scrolling while you're pooping.
Huh?
Better than scrolling while you're pooping.
Thank you, Michelle. Hygienic. Better than scrolling, more hygienic, right? And what we just get out of this. Well, I just want to say one thing. We just said we want to give people permission. I'm giving people permission right now.
Well, then that's an easy way to say it.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.